I love this time of the year, not because of the hustle and bustle we go through, but because just the spirit of Christmas, it's in the air. And we sang the Advent candle song. It says, Christ is coming, Christ, the hope of the world. I was thinking, if there is one thing that we all long for today, is hope. Hope for ourselves to begin with, and hope for our families, and hope for our communities, and hope for our nation, and of course, hope for the world. To us, God speaks this morning, do not look afar. You already have hope. Christ. Christ is the hope of the world, and He is coming. And that's, in fact, what Christmas is all about, isn't it? Christ coming. This past week, as I was preparing my sermon, I thought about myself, whether I am qualified to talk about hope. I asked myself the following question, do I really know enough about what I'm talking about? Have I experienced hope that delivered me from despair? Well, I do have a fair share of my experience of, you know, despair and deliverance through hope. But I humbly admit this morning that I am not an expert in this area. So I decided to turn to some individuals in the family whom I believe are well qualified to talk about hope. I chose three individuals. They are Job, King David, and Paul, the apostle. Who was Job? I'm sure most of you know who he was. Job was a righteous man, and he was a blessed man by God in material possessions. However, something happened, and one day he lost all of his possessions. Bandits came down upon his, you know, property in those days, livestock, and took them away one day. If you think that's not bad enough, he had 10 children, daughters and sons, and they were having a party under one roof, and tornado went through, and guess what? Roof collapsed on them and killed them all in one day. If that's not enough misfortune, he came up with his own health challenge, terrible skin disease that he had to scratch himself all the time with broken shots. So I believe he is capable and qualified to talk about hope. The second individual I chose is King David. Even though he was the second king of Kingdom of Israel before he became king, he was under constant death threat from First King Saul for years. So he was on the run constantly for years. And he tasted despair as well as hope. The third one, Paul the Apostle, of course, I spoke about him not long ago. And he spent 6 years in prison, dungeon to be exact, multiple imprisonments, and he was pelted with stones once, and he was flogged multiple times. And if you think that's not enough, he lived in various dangers, and if that's not enough, he suffered from a lifelong illness, and that's not enough, he was beheaded. All these three individuals have been there and done that, more so than any one of us. Remember this, none of them were non-believers. What does it tell you? It tells me that we, the believers, are not exempt from life's hopeless situations and despair. In their deep despair, they too thought about giving up on living. That means that it is perfectly human for us to feel that way once in a while. However, that's not the end of their stories. You see, thank God they never stayed in despair forever and ending their lives. No. Contrary, on the contrary, they all came out victorious from despair and darkness. All because of one thing they had in common. I would call the secret weapon against despair. That is hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. I don't believe we can separate hope from the other, which is in the Lord. In other words, hope is always found in the Lord. And if you are in the Lord, and you will overcome despair with hope. The baby says amen. She and I just work so well. Keep bringing the baby, Anthony, will you? That's our hope topic this morning. Let's think about hope. I discovered in the Bible there are three things that we must know whenever we go through despair or even darkness. The first one is this. Christ is the one, the hope of the world, the hope of the world. Above him, there is none other. Now think of the qualification for a while. To be the hope of the world, one, whoever wants to be, must have an excellent qualification. Wouldn't you agree? So I did some research, and after searching all the heroes, both outside the Bible and inside the Bible in human history, I came to a conclusion that this position to be the hope of the world is too big to be filled by any human being. In other words, no matter how good or great they think they are, no humans can fill this shoe to be the hope of the world. No kings, no queens, no popes, no politicians, even nor scientists. None other than God himself can fit this job. Indeed, the Bible confirms what I just said. It does not, the Word of God does not impose such a heavy burden to any other humans but God himself. Thank God for that. The Word of God declares that God himself is our hope. Christ is the hope of the world. It's not just the words that we sang. It is based on the Bible, Matthew 12, today's text, as well as 1 Timothy. In his name, the Gentiles, all the nations will hope. Christ is the hope of all nations and the hope of all races and tribes. True hope for humanity is only found in Christ, not in humanity themselves. You know, the other day I was attending the pastor's gathering here at our church, and we share what books we read and so forth. One of the pastors shared with me, he read the book called Homo Deus. How many of you heard of it? Homo Deus. Basically, the author promotes that Homo means humanity, isn't it? Deus means God. We promote ourselves to the point where we become divine, become God ourselves. Sounds familiar. If you remember Genesis' story, in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, serpent approached Eve and saying, if you eat this fruit, you'll become like what? God. No matter how hard we promote ourselves, we cannot be God. We don't find true hope in technology either. One of the Google founders of Google, not long ago, less than a month ago, he created another religion of information. How many of you heard of that story? Yes. No, we don't find hope in technology or information. Not in military power either. Only in Christ. Here's the several reasons why Christ is the only one qualified for the job. First of all, he is the Savior of the world. Next, he is the light of the world. And third, he is just. He is the fairest of all. And next is that he is gentle and kind. Have you noticed that if someone is so much wrapped up with the justice, they lose the sense of gentleness and kindness? But in Christ, you can find them both. He is not only just and the fairest of all, he is gentle and kind. Isaiah 42, talking about Messiah, the quality of Messiah. This is what it says. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. Kind and gentle. The next qualification I found in the Bible is this. Christ is also humble. In Matthew 11 it says, "For I am gentle and humble in spirit. Come to me and rest, find rest in me." Of course, the other qualifications such as love and compassion and patience. So no human being can fill that shoe but Christ. You may wonder what kind of job description Christ has. And don't worry, it's already prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9. This is what it says. Christ will give a great light to the people who walk in darkness, and he will shine on them, and he will increase their gladness, and he will break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor, meaning that he's going to be the liberator. And every boot of the booted warrior and the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire, meaning that he will end the war. There will be peace. No wonder his name will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. That's why Christ is the only one, only hope for the world, none other. The second thing we must remember when we talk about hope is that the same Christ who is the hope of the world, also our hope and your hope and mine in our daily lives. What good is it? He is good for the entire world, but he doesn't help me. The Bible declares that our hope, your hope and mine, is not in the bank accounts, not in our wealth, because money can come and go. I remember a story of my friend who retired as the vice president of Lucent Technology. He was thrilled because they gave him stocks over $1 million when he retired. He was thrilled, but within a year after he retired, you know what happened to the Lucent Technology stocks. He experienced, oh, a year ago I was a millionaire. Today I'm just ordinary retiree. Our hope is not in our own wisdom, might, or power either. Who wants to rely on self-strength? You know, I consider myself a decent guy. But when it comes down to relying on my own wisdom and might and power, I gave up. Because I found myself too often inconsistent. I don't trust myself either. And sometimes I do, but most of the time, especially important ones, I need bigger one and greater than the person who I am, which is Christ. Remember this, whenever we go through life's hardships, God never ever wants us to stay in despair. And that's where Christ comes in. As hope is necessary to get out of despair, Christ is necessary for us so that we may be strong and courageous in times of despair. He is the source of our strength and courage. We all love to quote Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's where he comes in. Christ is also the light, and he shines in the darkness, and the darkness will disappear. Christ is our hope in times of despair and darkness. The third thing we must remember whenever we talk about hope is this. The very hope we look for, the very hope that we need is found in where? God's Word. Now, if you're serious about finding hope in your life, search and dig in the Word of God diligently. And you will find Christ and hope. Did you know in the Bible, the word hope appears 146 times. I also looked up how many times the word despair appears. 14 times. Hope outnumbers despair 10 times. It tells me that we need positive reinforcement in our spiritual battle with despair and darkness. I also discovered in the Bible the words hope and light go together. Isn't that interesting? Hope and light go together. So do the words despair and darkness go together. In the Bible, light, the word light appears twice more often than the word darkness. The way I take this discovery is this. God wants us to reinforce our minds and hearts and lives all the time with what? Hope and light. 10 times more often than each time we face despair and darkness. You know, scholars discover that if you hear someone negative comment about anything, let's say, you look ugly, we need 5 times more of positive reinforcements to compensate it. You look beautiful, you're doing great, and so forth, to get even. No wonder scripture already figured it out. You need to reinforce yourself with hope and light to come over, you know, overcome this, you know, despair and darkness. How would you do it, though, without the Word of God? Now, I'm speaking to those folks who feel like I'm in despair. Let me tell you this. If you're in despair and if you neglect God's Word, you are doing the greatest disservice to yourself. Let me repeat so that you would not misunderstand. If you're in despair and you neglect God's Word, and you are doing the greatest disservice to yourself. You have no excuse saying that I see no way out. I'm in darkness. When you don't study God's Word for hope and light. Remember this, God's Word is living and powerful that it provides you with a way out. First of all, it'll provide you the fear of the Lord, foundation of your faith, and then wisdom and knowledge and strength to overcome hopelessness. But listen to the psalmist. I wait for the Lord, he says. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Listen to prophet Isaiah. Those who wait for the Lord, that means that hope for God's, you know, recovery and delivery, renew their strength. God gives you strength through his word. You know, I've been a pastor almost 30 years now. I have the easiest job in the world. Do you believe that? I cannot claim that that's the hardest job ever either. But being a pastor, it's not easy. The bottom line of being a pastor, as far as I understand, is this. You have to be ready all the time, 24/7. To be ready for what? So that you would present the best help to the parishioners ask for. From hospital visits, you know, you have to be with someone who's crying, you have to celebrate with others, which is easy. And you have to be good and be ready all the time. I'm human too. You all know that. So the way I see it is that who makes me always prepared, ready? It's God's word. Whenever I'm down, God's word picks me up. That's why I cannot live without daily devotion. God's word strengthens me and just to prepare myself ready for any situation in life. Not just for myself, but for the church, God's people. Remember, God's word is the source of our renewal and hope. Now, almost done. Good news. 2 more things for you to practice. Action points, if you will. If you know someone in despair right now, in your life or just at your work or whatever, please, first thing you do, reach out to them with words of kindness. The key word is kindness. Do not judge them or condemn them. Job chapter 6 verse 14 says, he was talking to his friends. For the despairing man, referring to himself, there should be kindness from his friend. How true it is. When someone is in despair, they're looking for some kindness from their friends. Be that friend, folks. The second point is this. Pray for God's presence in your friend's life. The key word is God's presence. Psalmist 42, verse 5 says this. Why are you in despair, O my soul? He's talking to himself. And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Did you hear again? I shall again praise him for the help. What kind of help? His presence. Have you ever felt that if you walk all by yourself, go alone, it's not fun at all. But if someone walking with you next to you, it's more fun. It's like someone greater than I am walking with me all the time, and it would boost me up, raise me up from despair and depression. God's presence. Pray for God's presence and pray that God would surround your friend with his presence. Those two things we can do for our friends who are in despair. Christ is indeed our hope. Let's bow our heads and pray. You are in our midst this morning, Lord, for that we are very grateful. Yes, we celebrate Christ's coming this Christmas season. But the best of all is that his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Christ is our hope. I lift up those individuals who feel so despaired, who see no way out from their life situation. Comfort them, Lord. Speak to them in the ways that they would understand. They are not alone. God is with them. Christ will shine on their darkness and dispel all the darkness away from their lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.